Mateo Bacha. Mateo, continue to speak. Viditashva. Of the name of Viditashva. Adhiraja. The emperor. Asit. Became. Prithu Putra. The son of Maharaj Prithu. Prithu Shrava. Of great activities. Yaviyogya. Unto the younger brothers. Adadat. Offered. Tashha.
Different directions.
Bratrya. Unto the brothers. Bratrvatsala. Very affectionate to the brothers. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, Vijitashva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had a reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern, for he was very affectionate toward his brothers. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya continued, Vijitashva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had a reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern. For he was very affectionate toward his brothers. After describing the life and character of Maharaj Prithu in the previous chapter, the great sage Maitreya began to speak about the sons and grandsons in the genealogical line of the Prithu dynasty. After the death of Maharaj Prithu, his eldest son, Vijitashva, became emperor of the world. King Vijitashva was very affectionate toward his younger brothers, and therefore he wanted them to rule the different directions of the world. From time immemorial, the eldest son generally becomes king after the death of the previous king. When the Pandavas ruled the earth, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the eldest son of King Pandu, became emperor, and his younger brothers assisted him. Similarly, King Vijitashva's younger brothers were appointed to govern the different directions of the world.
Class yesterday, he knows I don't give class at all. So then this morning he came up to me just a little while ago and he was very kind to me. He said, well, if you know, if this is going to be difficult for you, then you can just go through the previous chapter and just take the class reading the previous chapter, because it says there if you read it three times and you get so much benefit. So he said, if you want, you can just do that. But I told him I was okay with it. He was very kind to me. So if I run into some trouble, if I start stumbling and I run into some trouble, then I'll go back and do that. So if you see me doing that, don't be alarmed, because it's beneficial. It's also very, very beneficial, very good. So, but hopefully we remember some of that last chapter even without the speaker reading it over. So, in this verse, I'll read it again. The great sage Maitreya continued, Vijitashva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had a reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern, for he was very affectionate toward his brothers. So, this was the nice process in the Vedic times that the king, who would be a good ruler and a spiritual leader. He would govern the people nicely, and then upon his death, then his eldest son would take the throne, and then he would continue to rule. And the eldest son is affectionate to his brothers, so that's also nice, the younger brothers, and he gives them different directions at that time, different directions of the world to rule. And so we can compare that with the modern day, when the Americans and other leaders of the world, there have been times when the president of America, not died, but in America, they're at least intelligent enough to know that that they pull the leader down after 8 years maximum. He gets pulled down. They know, or at least they're smart enough to know that there's no one in America who's qualified to rule for his whole life. Actually, they used to do that. There was a few presidents, at least one that I can remember, President Franklin Roosevelt. He ruled for 4 terms, which would be 16 years, but he died near the end of his 4th term, so he was ruling. And people liked him, he was ruling until his death, but then after that, then they said, no, we can't do this anymore. The president can only be for 2 terms, at maximum 8 years, so then they pulled him down, because they realized that he's not really qualified. They don't want anybody to be just ruling until they die. So, but in the later times, that's the way it went. That was the process, because the ruler was good. In recent times, it was an American president, George Bush, and when he was pulled down from office, when his term was over, then a little while later, then his son actually did become president also. But I was just reading here, Maharaj Prithna, that Vijayatashva, who had a reputation like his father's, and also this George Bush Jr. had a reputation like his father's, but it wasn't good. It wasn't a good reputation. His father had a bad reputation. He also had a bad reputation. So that's not good, but that's the way it goes in the modern days. So, I can speak about America because I know that country. And instead of the leader being elected king, because he has good qualities, or because he's king, he makes sure that he develops and maintains good qualities. Instead, in the modern day countries, in America, there's two political parties. There's the Democratic Party and there's the Republican Party, and they challenge each other, they fight against each other. In other words, they argue against each other. They have political campaigns, and the Democratic candidate for president, he comes up and he takes the podium and he announces why he would be the better president, and then the other one comes up and announces why he would be the better president, and they debate and they campaign against each other. But the people vote, of course, they vote for one or the other, but their qualifications aren't based on any spiritual qualities, it's based on something else completely different. And if one of the candidates who's running for president, if he announces that he's spiritually inclined and he's interested in serving God and he wants to set up a process where all the people can worship God and not be so concerned about these material things and materialistic things like getting a good car or a lot of money, then he would never be elected. He wouldn't stand a chance. He would be shot down right away. He wouldn't stand a chance in the election. So he can't do that. He has to say, yes, you know, we'll have a good job, and we'll bring the economy up, and we'll bring the employment rate will go up if you would like to be. And he has to say these things, you'll become a little wealthier, you'll become happier, you'll become, you know, I guess you can't say, you know, you'll become more spiritually advanced and more renounced. That's not what's wanted in this modern age, in modern countries. So in these times, this was just a nice example of what's really supposed to happen. And so someone could also say, well, if this is the process, then the king, he rules for so many years until he dies, and then his eldest son becomes the king, and then he rules until he dies, and then his eldest son becomes the king, and he rules until he dies, and all his brothers all the time, all the younger brothers are serving them. So then he could say, well, this is a monopoly. So this is a monopoly, and this family is monopolizing the country, you know, and nobody else has a chance. But if the leader is good, if the king is a good king, and he's really following all the religious principles, and he's following the principles of the revealed scriptures, then why should anyone complain? You know, if it is just one family that's monopolizing the country, so what? If they're good leaders, if they're all trained in religious principles, and each successive son follows the same good principles that his father is following, then what's the problem? We should complain. Nobody complains, really. That was what the Vedic system. Nobody would complain because everyone was happy. In fact, if anything went wrong in the kingdom, we all know that the story Prabhupada used to say, and it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if anything went wrong in the kingdom, then the citizens they would present it to the king, and what's wrong? You know, you're ruling the kingdom, you're ruling this country, and my son died prematurely, or my cow isn't giving enough milk, or, you know, our pastures dried up, and then they would come to the king, you know, what's wrong? What are you doing wrong? You better straighten up. You better clean up your act. You know, they would complain to the king like this. So if the king was good, there was no problem, and the citizens, nobody was really worried that I want to be elected. I want to be the next king. No, you're ruling in a wonderful way, so I'm happy, my neighbors are happy, everyone's happy. So that's the right process. Another thing is that when you're king, you have a lot of power. You have a lot of power, you have access to a lot of wealth, and so many things. So there's a saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that's usually the case. So power can corrupt if you get a lot of power, you become the leader, and you have a lot of money, and you have a lot of access to a lot of things. Then there's a good chance that you can become corrupted by that. But if you have good principles, if you have strong principles, if you follow the principles of religion and the principles in the revealed scriptures, then it really doesn't matter how much wealth you get, how many followers you get, how much prestige you get. You won't become corrupted because your principles are strong. In your heart, you have strong principles, so you're not going to be you're not going to fall under the sway of you're not going to become corrupted by these things because you're strong in your religious principles. So and that was a, so again, that was a Vedic system. In the modern day, there's anyone who becomes gets a lot of money. Generally, you see that most of the rich men of the world, men and ladies, they're very materialistic minded. They get a lot of money and they just want more. And they're only thinking, I want more. They get millions of dollars, but they want a few more millions, they want billions. So it's that's a corrupting influence, that's the wrong way. But there's some hope. It doesn't always have to happen. Like, does anyone know who's the richest man in the world?
Bill Gates.
Yeah, okay, that's right. There was a nice article in Back to Guardian, in the newest Back to Guardian, about this Warren Buffett. He knocked Bill Gates off the throne of being the richest man in the world. Bill Gates is number three now. Warren Buffett is number one. He has his worth is valued at something like $62 billion. But Warren, there's an article, he got the article in BTG because he's, unlike the other ones, he gives so many billions a year to charities, different charities, and not always the exact right things, but he's trying. He said that he doesn't want to be known for being a rich. What did else did he say?
He's driving his own car.
Yeah, he's driving his own car. He doesn't have a servant, a chauffeur driving him. He doesn't have so many servants in his house, even though he has billions of dollars. He can easily have all these things, but he understands that it's corrupting, and that's not the way he wants to live. That's not the way he wants to live, or the way he wants to die. So in the Back to God, I didn't even have a picture of him sitting with a chowder and sitting reading maybe a Bhagavad Gita. I don't know if the picture was real. It was dummied up. It's very easy to do that in these days, especially with the black and white photos. So it wasn't exactly genuine, but just to illustrate that he's at least the richest man in the world, but at least interested in something else besides having all this money and having all this wealth. So it doesn't always have to be that way, but the power does corrupt in the society of demons. Yeah, it's generally that's the case. If it does corrupt in the society of Vaishnavas or devotees, then just the opposite. Then the king will use his wealth and his influence to help the society, to help the world, to benefit the world. So that's, but since it is Kali Yuga, even we have, for us, our great leader is Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada means so much to all of us, and he was such a great leader. He could have easily been the president of any country. He could have been elected the leader of the world, and the Vaishnavas would have been delighted. But even though he was such a great leader and means so much to us, even so, then you would say, well, then why didn't then his son should have been the next spiritual master and the next leader of the Hare Krishna movement? But it's Kali Yuga, so even a great person, a great leader like Srila Prabhupada, his sons, although they're not demons, not qualified, not really interested in following him, like these sons of King Prithu and sons of Maharaj Yudhishthira. They would follow their great fathers. Even Prabhupada's sons were not so much interested. They had interest in, it was money they wanted. They were, nice persons, but they were interested in other things other than spiritual pursuits. Like Prabhupada was just totally interested in Krishna. I had a chance one time. I met one of Prabhupada's sons. I had a chance to meet Prabhupada's sister, Baba Tarini, affectionately known as Bhishma. So I had a chance to meet Bhishma in 1979. Coming from Miami to Vrindavan, and Amataji from Gainesville, Florida, gave me some sweets or something to bring to Pishima. And so I brought it to her, but at that time she was sick. She was sick, so one of Prabhupada's sons was there, and he accepted it. He accepted the four pieces of it. And he was not, he looked a little bit like Prabhupada. I don't remember right now which one it was. I can't see long ago. I don't remember. I didn't even ask. I didn't even know for sure which one it was. But it was in the apartment of Pishamaya, and Prabhupada's sons were even nearby. So anyway, it was one of Prabhupada's sons. He said, I'm one of Prabhupada's son. I can take it to Pishamaya. And he looked a little like Prabhupada, but you know, the same mood wasn't there. You know, he didn't have the same drive that Prabhupada had to just please Krishna, to just serve Krishna, to just bring everyone to Krishna. So this is Kali Yuga. In another age like here, that wouldn't have happened. The son was just naturally inclined. He sees how great the father is, and he wants to be just like the father. So he takes on the same qualities of the father, and then when the father leaves the body, then he's qualified also to rule. And he continues the dynasty, continues to rule. And let's get this. Even in the modern day, there are some countries that still where the family continues, like in England, the king and queen of England. So when they leave, then the son, or if only the daughter is living, then they take the throne. I think in other countries too, like Spain and other countries. So where? Oh, so it's the way it should go, but in Belgium I don't think it's a spiritual leadership. If it were a spiritual leadership, your father wouldn't have had to go with the other devotees and just try to get our rights of being a tourist attraction. I mean, that's such a foolish thing, and we have to fight for that. And so if the leader was a good spiritual leader, then that would never happen. That couldn't happen. So in the world, in society, in human society, there are four persons who are leaders, and that's the king, the executive head, the father, and the school teacher. So those four are considered the leaders in society. If any one of those are not spiritually advanced or following the religious principles, then it creates a chaos, or it creates problems in society. Quoting one verse from Bhagavad Gita, yad-yadacharati shrestas tattarivetro jana yad-kurute, no, pramanam kurute. What's the last one? Locus saranavartate. That whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that makes for a perfect society. The leader, a great man, it's just natural for common men to look up to a great man. That's been that way all throughout history. Any great men that we can consider, of course in Kali Yuga it's a little bit perverted, but still it's there. The principle is still there, the common men follow it. If you're a musician, then you consider a great man to be Elvis Presley or the Beatles, and then if you're a musician, you try to follow them, and you do something like them. So that's natural for the common man to follow. And if he says, so, he, and then you follow the examples he sets, that's just natural. So the idea is that you have to have all good leaders and elect good leaders. So, but if the society, if human society, if the country is full of citizens who are just nonsense and don't know and aren't religious, aren't spiritually minded, then they'll elect someone who's also a, if they're all scoundrels and asses, then they'll elect other hogs and dogs and camels. Now, later we'll hear about how what goes on in the kingdom and different sons and the bias to one another. Okay, so I'm going to stop there and after the retreat, working out again and then. Yes.
I would just explain more about the because it's Kapyoga.
Yes.
So even the South Prabhupada, they were not so much inclined to spiritual life. So I was wondering, because it's you know, it's the consciousness of the knowledge of conception that attracts a certain soul. So even Prabhupada, because it's Kapyoga, doesn't attract such souls who are willing to follow him then what's just
to do. Yeah, it's a sad condition. Oh, I'm calling that. Prabhupada was in his married life, which was before he started his great mission of taking up the fully the order of the spiritual master, Guru Bhaktisiddhanta, and coming to the West and spreading Krishna consciousness. Then, of course, he was in married life for so many years and had some children. So you could say, well, at that time, he wasn't fully absorbed in the spiritual mission, so maybe that's what it takes to attract these spirit souls to the womb. His wife, although she was had Prabhupada's association, she still was interested in other things, and she wasn't fully Krishna conscious. That wasn't her foremost ideal, to become Krishna conscious. She had other ideas. So it was her womb. It was her womb that the spirit soul comes to. So maybe it's more the woman's. I don't know. Maybe it's more the woman's character or personality that attracts the father. His father is there. It's the woman who. The woman who conceives the child and who attracts the spirit soul comes from her womb, so maybe it's more the woman's that is responsible for what type of spirit soul enters her body, enters her womb. I don't know.
She was drinking tea.
Yeah,
if you drink tea.
Tea biscuits were very important there. She even sold one time, sold Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita for tea biscuits. So it's not the highest spiritual understanding. And it's her woman. It's her woman that the spirit soul was entering. So, yeah. Yes.
So
there's
only 25% is the consciousness. That 25% which is the individual.
25% is the...
After the individual.
Okay.
25% is because of the one's karma, and the 25% is because of the education. Yeah. The one is getting the association of the So it's not only because of the questions of the parents, and also you may have some more examples of the parents who are very exalted and then they were cheered on Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Very, very, very exalted. So it's not necessarily automatically a person who's coming from a very good family. Or even it's not necessarily somebody's coming from a bad family. It's not becoming very naughty.
Yeah.
So, this kind of
so many examples in the body.
So it's not automatically the case.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's you. That's totally honest. Yeah. And the examples in the Bible tell where the parents were good and the child was bad, and the parents were maybe the parents were bad and the child was good. So, the main thing he had against his own son, and why? Because his son was doing terrible things, creating havoc. No, because his son was great devotee of the Lord, and that's why he wanted to kill him. So almost polar opposite story. So, and then in other cases. You mind if you ask? Yeah, so, yes.